We want to get an update now on those 33 miners trapped about 700 meters or 2,000 feet below the surface in the Andes in that copper mine down in northern Chile. Eva Salinas is editor of the Santiago Times. She helped us to understand what was going on in Chile all last week. She joined us once again from Santiago. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning.
There's been contact between the workers and their families, direct telephone contact, and they also have received some supplies that are supposed to help them down there over the next several months. Explain.
Yes, yesterday for the first time, I guess for the families, it would be more than 3 weeks, they were able to talk to the miners below. Only one family member per miner and less than a minute per family member for some of them. And that was the first time they were able to speak to them. They also sent down, as you mentioned, some supplies that will help them aid in their own rescue. And also something very seemingly small but significant to the miners, their very first solid food. It was ham sandwiches. And up until this point, it's just been hydration and liquid food. So that was a big event, too.
A ham sandwich is a big event, Eva Salinas. You're absolutely right about that. Joining us also is Colonel Tom Colditz, who's chairman of the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Leadership at West Point. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning.
So we've asked you on the program because, as we've already learned about the Chilean miners, they are workers who understand the risks of being underground, right?
Of course.
In a sense, they're like soldiers. They're supposed to rely on each other, and they understand when these moments occur, they're supposed to mobilize and go into action to support each other. How would you advise these soldier miners in this task to win their freedom?
Well, I think the most important thing is that they have to support one another psychologically and emotionally, and everything that we've seen coming out of the mine thus far suggests that they're doing that very, very well. The common threat that they face is something that psychologists have demonstrated time and time again will pull people together who may not have been close at the beginning. So right now I would be very optimistic for these miners and their relationships going forward.
And the point here is that these are not sort of random people collected around a water cooler in an office forced to spend months together. These are a team of people who understand what the risks are and what they're supposed to do to mobilize at this point. Hold on there for just a second, Colonel. Eva Salinas, what evidence do we have of that cooperation that Colonel Colditz was talking about a moment ago?
Well, right from last Sunday when we first found out they were alive, it was very clear that somehow they've been able to stay alive, and how did they do that? And over the couple of days after they were first, we first made communication, we found out just how well they had planned and organized already to make those 17 days last underground, from dividing themselves up into teams to clean the mine and keep busy, to rationing food. It was incredible. From the spoonful of tuna and a cracker, every 48 hours they still had enough food to last them about 3 days after they were initially rescued or they made communication. So they had already kind of divided up a plan and had been working together very, very well.
That's Eva Salinas, who's editor of the Santiago Times. Colonel Tom Colditz up there at West Point, or I guess you're talking to us from Washington, D.C. right now. But, Colonel, how do you prevent what a lot of our listeners have talked about, which is a kind of intuitive notion that, well, if there's any sort of conflict between any of these workers, and people are thinking about their own coworkers, they're going to be inflamed over the next several months, that if there's a lack of trust between two individuals, that could be a flashpoint, an explosive flashpoint that would demoralize everyone in the group. How do you prevent that sort of thing?
Well, you prevent it first by making sure that they view getting out of the mine as a team effort, that they work together to mutually support. And one of the ways that we've seen that already, when they videoed the coal miners, and one of the gentlemen began crying during his little portion of the video, the rest of them clapped for him. And it was a very poignant moment where you could see the support coming from the rest of the team. Now, in terms of the conflicts, all of us have conflicts with our coworkers, and in some cases can't even imagine being trapped with them. But under life-threatening pressures, in extremis pressures, most of that gets washed away. And people tend to bond together naturally and to stay that way until the crisis is resolved.
You know, Colonel Koldis, we're more familiar with the coal miners' situation in the United States, which, of course, is soft stone mines that are filled with poisonous gases. And, of course, there's the issue of black lung, which causes all sorts of death and hardship among coal miners in places like West Virginia. But there's an ethos of mining that goes beyond these health issues. And I wonder if you're seeing that play out here in Chile.
Well, I think so. That's what miners bring into the mine. And remember, they're trapped in their office right now. They're trapped in the place where they go to work. And in any mine, it's a struggle for daily survival. It is very dangerous work. And so consequently, these men are feeling probably somewhat lucky right now. And very positively disposed to their futures, and very hopeful that the issue will be resolved as quickly as possible.
Eva Salinas, we spoke last week on this program about some idea that in observing the heroic efforts of these miners, that some light would shine upon the sacrifices of all workers inside Chile. Are you seeing that people get a sense of the real sacrifices of the workers who produce so much of the wealth in Chile, watching what's going on down below?
I think right now, yes, you have seen a solidarity, certainly, with workers, especially in the mining industry, which is the top industry in Chile. I guess the only hope is that that will continue after what we hope is a successful rescue. And also, you know, that throughout the country, that these, unfortunately, accidents do happen from time to time, nothing to this extent. It doesn't happen very often, but certainly it's been interesting to see the world's attention turn onto the story of the miners, because certainly this happens all over the world as well. And I think more often when it turns out badly, when there's an unhappy ending, that's when it kind of disappears from the news. And that's the same within the national news as well. There was a death just two Saturdays ago. There have been many deaths in this particular mine already. It's been deemed very unsafe. So hopefully that this will change something, and after they are rescued and suffering from health issues, what they expect they will suffer from down the road, that we won't forget.
Well, it gets way beyond this sort of trivialization of Delbert, the idea that co-workers are a universal relationship. Eva Salinas, editor of the Santiago Times, speaking to us from Santiago about those 33 trapped Chilean miners. Also with us, Colonel Tom Koldis, chairman of the Department of Behavioral Sciences and Leadership at West Point, talking about what's needed to keep the solidarity to keep those miners alive. Thanks so much, Colonel.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.